With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We're back. Fan Morning Show presented by Matt Mertz Plumbing, now part of the Armstrong Comfort Solutions family. Grab a Dunkin'. That's the official coffee of the Fan Morning Show. Welcome in our pal, our friend, our compadre, Ray Fittipaldo from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Hello, Ray. How you doing?
Hello, guys. I'm doing well.
Ray, you still sullen after the Penguins exit? You didn't see this coming, did you?
Not after 3-1 last week. They were up 3-1. Everyone was feeling good, right? I don't know. The Penguins did a great job of like bringing everyone out yesterday, but I didn't see if anyone asked why Marino just blindly threw that puck into the middle of the ice with 5 minutes to go.
Ray is still,
that's what I want to know.
Ray is carrying that with him all offseason. He's so fired up. People want to blame like the dropped helmet and everything, and it wasn't the play was it was fine. It was back to squared back to normal. Marino just threw the puck in the middle of the ice, Ray.
Don't you, like, chip it off the board, throw it off the glass, right?
Even back behind the net, right? Wheel it around. Yeah, any of that, Ray. See, this is what's great about Ray. He knows youth baseball, right? Pittsburgh's own Buttermaker.
Right.
And then he knows the Steelers inside and out, obviously. Mm-hmm. That's why we have him on. But now he brings hockey to the table as well.
Ray Ferraro on the Fan Morning Show, joined by him. Edgar Snyder and Associates remind you to text responsibly on our text line. All right, Ray, to the Steelers. You tell me between now and camp, I guess. You tell me, or even maybe the early reaches of camp, you tell me 2-3 stories that we should keep a pulse on and take the GM situation out of it. Tell me 2-3 stories.
All right, I think we're going to get some clues next week when OTA start on Tuesday about Stephon Tuitt. I will take it as a negative sign if Stephon Tuitt is not there on Tuesday. And I know they're voluntary. They are not required to show up, but the way I look at it is Cam Hayward and Tyson Alulu, they're two of the leaders on this team, and they're two of the best friends that Stephon Tuitt has on this team. And they made it a point to go to every OTA last year, almost every OTA. So if Tuitt isn't there, I'm really going to start wondering about what's going on there. Now, the other storyline, and it might be a little bit boring, but to me, it's the interior of the offensive line. They struggled so badly last year, penetration, getting knocked back into the backfield on running plays. I want to see how Mason Cole does at center, James Daniels at guard. I think if that can get shored up, we might be able to see some baby steps from the running game. So those are two things I'm watching. Of course, everyone's going to be watching the quarterbacks and the young receivers too, but you know, over the next month, I kind of want to find out what's going on in the trenches, and you know, can that run offense improve, and can that run defense improve? I think it will if Tua's there, but that's still kind of a big unknown right now.
Well, what if he's not there? Where do the plans go anyway, Ray? Like, do they continue to hold out hope that he will be back? Do they start to plan to find more time for the rookie from A&M? How do they figure things out? Is it more Chris Wormley again? What are their plans if Tuitt is again nowhere to be found, at least during OTAs?
Yeah, I mean, listen, Chris Wormley might be on the bubble if Stephon Tuitt is on this team this year. You drafted Isaiah Loudermilk last year, basically with a fourth-round pick. You got Leal this year with a third-round pick. So, you know, they would have to sort of juggle things if Tuitt was back in the fold. If he's not, I think that's great news for Wormley. I don't think you ask a rookie to step up and take on a huge role right away. So I think Loudermilk, who I think got 2 starts last year, you know, he would be a guy who would be called upon for more. And they would have to piece it together. I mean, listen, that would be a huge gut punch if they weren't able to get back one of the top three, four defensive ends in the league this year. But again, you know, they have to know if Tua is committed. He has to want to play football, and we haven't heard from him in more than a year now. So we just don't have a lot of insight into exactly what's going on there.
Twitter, at Fan Morning Show. We love it there. It's brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge, Jeep Ram, Peters Township, or visit them online at southhillsjeep.com. Now that the dust has settled a little bit, they've gathered some after draft day or whatever. George Pickens is somebody who intrigues a lot of people. Does he walk? Is it as advertised? Do you think he walks in, he's on the field from day one, and he is one of the top two, three Steelers receivers?
Top three. Deontay Johnson, undisputed number one. Chase Claypool, you hope he gets back on track after what happened last year. So, you know, George Pickens has to be in a top three role. And when you look at it, you know, that guy's going to be getting 50 to 60, 65% of the snaps anyway. So he's going to be basically a starter, even though he's not going to be on the field, in certain packages. So, I think they're going to have to get him ready. He brings size, he brings speed, and he brings playmaking ability. And that's something I don't think they've really had around here in quite some time.
Martavis Bryant probably, right?
Yeah, because, they've had playmakers in Antonio Brown, but he wasn't big. They've had guys like Juju, but he wasn't fast. You know, so I think they've had this guy before. I know it's a new OC, but I'm interested to see how does this guy fit into this new offense. A deep threat, a guy who can make plays for you. You know, we kind of thought Claypool might be that guy, but he hasn't been that guy. So we'll see if George Pickens can step up and, you know, take on that role that Martavis once had, Plaxico Burress once had. You know, that's the type of guy I think he can be in the future.
Does Kenny Pickett gain any kind of advantage at all from the 3-day rookie minicamp, Ray, in that he got an opportunity to work with Pickens and Austin in particular, and Trubisky hasn't yet?
No, I mean, I think a lot of that was just installation, and I think, they ran through some stuff, so he might have a little bit of a head start. But, you know, this is going to be a week and months-long competition between Pickett and Trubisky, and I don't think 3 days in the middle of May are going to make a whole lot, of a difference for him. So, we're going to get a chance to talk to Trubisky on Tuesday for the first time, presumably. He signed 2 or 3 months ago. We still haven't talked to him. So I'll be interested to see how he views this whole thing. You know, the one question out there is, did he know the Steelers were going to draft Pickett? You know, there's been some back and forth about that, you know, whether he knew that was coming or not. So I'll be interested to get his take next week. I mean, the Tua story is going to be out there. Finally, we're going to get to, you know, some real football, and it won't just be the rookies, and, you know, we'll be able to get some answers and get some clues about how training camp's going to unfold here in a couple of months.
Cliched question, but I think it is true because we've not yet got a real answer to it. Is Matt Canada finally, is like this the time where Matt Canada looks around and goes, okay, now this is mine. I finally have my people. Is that where we are now?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at what Mike Tomlin did since the season ended, mm-hmm. Ike Hilliard is gone. Adrian Clem and Chris Morgan are gone. He brought in two guys that Matt Canada is familiar with, and Prisman Jackson and the new offensive line coach. So, yeah, he's got, guys he can work with now, in the room and, you know, devise game plans and all that stuff. And then you look at what they did in the draft, 3 of the first 4 picks on offensive players, whether it's Trubisky or Pickett, it's going to be a mobile quarterback, which we've all heard is something that Matt Canada needs for this offense to survive. So I think, yeah, no excuses this year, right? You know, we heard about last year he was hamstrung by Ben and, you know, the salary cap. They couldn't really fix the offensive line. Well, they've done everything this offseason to give him a chance, to give him a fighting chance to get this offense turned around. It's not all Matt Canada. I mean, 2018, they weren't very good. 2019, they were terrible. That's why Fietner is not here. But, you know, the last couple of years that Canada's been involved, they haven't been much better. So, I think this is going to be a big year for him. If this offense does not take a big step forward this year, they're probably going to have to make a change again at OC.
How much should we expect that offense to utilize Calvin Austin right away, at least?
I don't know about right away. I think they probably want to try to work him in there. I don't want to say he's going to be a gadget player because he's much more than that. You know, he was a pretty good route runner, so I think he's going to be involved. But when you look at it, you know, if Pickens is three and you know you're going to use Freiermuth, you know, you can kind of work him in as like a fifth option early and then see, hey, if he's productive, if, you know, he shows some juice, then you could throw him out there more. But to me, you know, is he a punt returner? Can he be a punt returner and then you just sort of work him into the offense and see what you got? But I don't know that he's going to be a big part of this offense, say, in September, early October. I would look for a guy like him to, you know, take incremental steps, get involved slowly, and, you know, sort of see what you got as you go along there.
Last thing for you, Ray, not to be nostalgic, but ESPN, they're doing a 30 for 30 on the 2000 Ravens, built on defense, just about 10 points per game, 10.3 points a game. I long for the glory days of 9-6 Steeler Ravens games, Ray.
You will never ever see that again.
I know.
that's going to be a good one. There's been so much. They did a Bears one, right?
Yeah, they did.
Done a Bears. Yeah. So I mean, you can go. I don't know if they've done a 76 Steelers one, but that would be a good one. How they were, you know, Mike Krusek was playing, and the unbelievable numbers that they posted there. They didn't win a Super Bowl, which maybe is why they won't do one. But
the Ravens team held three of their four playoff opponents to single digits. I mean, come on.
Which playoff game was it where Tony Siragusa, like, jumped on the quarterback and, like, flattened him and knocked the quarterback out? That was a road game. I think they all played road games.
Yeah, they played at Tennessee and they played at Oakland.
Think it was at Oakland.
Raiders, yeah.
Rich Gannon or somebody like that. Yeah.
Man. All right, real quick, Ray, what's your schedule? You got baseball this week?
Ohio Glaciers tournament up in Youngstown.
They bet on those games. Yes.
How'd it go up in Sandusky? Did you keep the kids out of the water park?
Yeah, they had fun. We lost in the championship game. We're totally in an offensive slump right now. We scored 19 runs in four games. Somehow we won three of them. Don't ask me how, but thank God we have pitching.
Okay. Thank God they rely on pitching and good defense, like they drew it up back in the Abner Doubleday days. All right, Ray. Good job, Buttermaker. Keep getting those trophies. They give out rings, or what do they give out for these things?
They got a ring, but I think most of our kids threw them away because it was second place rings.
Oh, wow.
Look at this guy.
Lions, not sheep.
Yes, look at this guy. He's tough. Thank you, Ray. We'll talk next week.
All right, guys. See ya.
He threw them right in Lake Erie. Those rings at that Lake Erie tournament, that Sandusky tournament, right in Lake Erie.
Look, if it's not the medal that you take the picture of it with you biting down on it, then it's not worth it.
Second place for first loser, all that kind of stuff, Ray's team. They don't settle for it. Coming up next, you guys have heard this term, right? Poverty franchise. People say that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I found the most incredible example. The most incredible example. And then my kids came home yesterday. One cried and one laughed. All because of the same exact thing. And we've all been there, and I'd love to know your vantage of this thing. We'll get into that. Wednesdays with Whaley coming up in just a couple minutes. But first, listen, your Ford your way. What's that mean? Well, you get your Ford your way. Ford has a $500 rebate for all orders, plus Schultz Ford going to give you an additional $500 rebate. That's, well, $1,000 off. What's your Ford your way mean? Well, you build the truck, the car, the SUV, the work truck, however you want it. Customize it your way. Do it at Schultz Ford. That's the place. Three great locations, Schultz Ford Wexford, Schultz Ford Harmer, Schultz Ford South in West Mifflin, and always at SchultzFord.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional.
Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, you heard the term poverty franchise. People said Clint Hurdle said that not long ago,
yeah,
right?
Making fun of the Dodgers.
Uh-huh. Here's a true-life poverty franchise. So the Arizona Coyotes, their new arena deal is embarrassing. It really is. But it hit incredible heights. So if you missed this whole story, the Coyotes are going to be playing their home games for the foreseeable future at Arizona State University. Now, Arizona State University, remember, Austin Lemieux went out there to play hockey for a little bit, and now he's a golfer. He just missed qualifying the qualifier for the U.S. Open by a shot. For the next round, by the way, at Butler Country Club the other day. But anyway, the Arizona State University recently built a facility because they're a Division I hockey school now. And the Coyotes, their previous arena deal fell through with the city of Glendale. They've been at odds forever.
They basically are getting kicked out of Gila River Arena and now are moving into a place that is as yet unconstructed.
Correct. A college hockey arena. Crowley, this is incredible. So there's a report in The Athletic. We know about those. There's a report in The Athletic. If the Coyotes become part of a public school or public scandal or do anything untoward that reflects poorly on the ASU brand, the school is going to be able to back out of the deal, right? So that's the first part. Like, what a poverty franchise. The clause states that anything that violates widely held principles of public morality, failing to conduct its business affairs with a high degree of integrity and honesty, or failing to act as a good corporate citizen, the agreement, terminated. Out. See you later. Go get your own building. Go play in a parking lot. We don't care. Because there's a long history of a less than favorable reputation the Coyotes have. They skimped out on rent payments. They draft a player who admitted to racially abusing a classmate. You remember that? Arizona eventually walked that pick back, and then they, you know, figured it all out. But they're not seen in the highest light. Here's the kicker. Here's the poverty franchise kicker. Arizona State put an addendum item into the lease of the arena, the agreement to let them use the arena. In-ice advertising will be a revenue source for Arizona State, and the Coyotes aren't allowed to modify the look of the ice surface, i.e., the Arizona State logo stays at center ice for all Coyotes games on broadcast to protect ASU's permanent advertiser in the building.
So they can't get of that extra revenue from on-ice advertisements. They can't even put their own logo at center ice.
Now, the Coyotes can control temporarily the branding of the scoreboard and arena dasher boards and things like that. When you watch a Coyotes game, though, it is going to say ASU and have a big Arizona State logo.
Sun Devil pitchfork right
at
there.
At center ice. What?
And again,
low
5,000 seats.
I would love to see a game there because I think it would be an intimate atmosphere to watch NHL unlike anything we've ever seen.
But talk about no leverage.
Oh, my God. It's a disaster. It's worse than having a baseball field in the middle of your football
But Quebec
field.
City can't get a team.
Right.
Right.
You know, Quebec City can't get a team.
Will they even sell out the 5K that they're going to be able
There's
to sell?
There's no way.
Well, no, because they're raising the prices so much incrementally to make up for the lack of seating. I mean, they're talking about raising their season ticket costs by like at least 100-150%. So you're going to drive away. I mean, you didn't have a strong season ticket base as it was because it's Arizona, but now you're going to drive a ton of people away. And so you're right, Adam. There may be games where they don't sell out the 5,000. Then there may be other games where all 5,000 are opponent fans.
Yes. Yeah. Like the 5,000 Pittsburghers who live in the greater Phoenix area.
That's what they're banking on if they're raising the prices that way, is for the other team's opposition to just sell these games.
One-offs
out.
And sell single seats. But wait till you see NHL tonight and you watch the Penguins highlights and it's going to look
like they're playing it.
Robert Morris. Yeah,
exactly what I was going to say.
It's bad for the league, too. I mean, it just looks like it's junk for the league. If it's on SportsCenter and all of a sudden, let's take you out to Tempe.
And here's the thing. If you're Gary Bettman and you're like, I don't know, you refuse to give up this Sun Belt market because you believe that somehow you can make it work, you know, move to another Sun Belt city. Go to Houston.
They had no problem telling Atlanta to jump in a lake.
I mean, right.
You know?
It's
phenomenal, though. You're going to watch a Coyotes game in the Arizona State. Like, what advertising for them? It is smart to them. Hey, you want to use our arena? Listen, there's no other ice arenas around here. This is the deal. Take it or leave it, or you don't have a place.
Play here or play in Quebec. Or, yeah.
Yeah, that's that. All right, coming up next, man, something happened. And two people looked at the same thing vastly different in my household. Wait till you hear what this was. And we hear from Mike Sullivan before the hour's out. Wednesdays with Whaley, top of the hour. Crowley needs to bring you up to speed as to something.
Oh, I sure do. And that's the Bet Park Sportsbook app. The Penguins, they're out of the playoffs. You know, you watch. 2.3 million people watch, in fact, game number 7. You may not know where to go with your viewing habits now. The Pirates lose yesterday 7-0. They've scored just one run in 3 games. I know I turned it off. So what are you going to watch? I think you should get in on futures bets. It's easy. It's what I've done. You go to the Bet Parks app, the futures tab, and I am on the Flames, baby. Join my brigade and root for the Flames. They get started against the Oilers tonight. They are plus 550 to win the Stanley Cup. The Lightning, they've won 2 cups in a row, and you can get them at plus 575. They've got pedigree. They're playing the Panthers, a team that they beat in the playoffs last year. They were down early yesterday. They come back to win the game. Plus 575 seems like good value to me. Download the Bet Parks app in the Google App Store or wherever you get your apps. Also at betparks.com. Must be in Pennsylvania or New Jersey. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Whaley, 9 a.m. Wednesdays with Whaley. He'll join us. We're excited for that. You should be too. 412-928-9370. Jump aboard. Okay, now in my home, we have fifth grade boy-girl twins. And yesterday at their school, and you're going to laugh just thinking, as soon as I say this, you're going to laugh and put yourself back in fifth grade. Yesterday at their school, they split the boys and the girls up, and they showed the coming-of-age videos that they show. Complete with graphics and pictures and all that stuff, Crowman. I mean, this was, yes, all that kind of stuff. So there were two divergent reactions. And when I say divergent reactions, I mean on opposite ends of the continuum. It couldn't have been more opposite. So our daughter is mortified by life now. She was, and I'm not naive. Like, they knew some about this stuff. But our daughter is mortified by life. She came home. She doesn't want to talk about it. She hates it. She can't even believe that they did this in school. Oh, my gosh. She's petrified. So she wants nothing to do with any of this. Our son was walking around last night, chuckling, talking about him and his friends, and sounded like when Belichick and Brady had that deflated balls press conference.
Some guys like them round.
Right.
Some guys like them tacky.
The difference in boys and girls with the same videos is phenomenal. And it puts you back in fifth grade whenever you saw, if you're a boy, when you saw that video and you and your compadres just couldn't get past laughing all day about this.
We called it Wonder of Wonders. That's what the video was.
Wonder of Wonders.
And I will never forget.
See? You'll never forget.
I went to my buddy Logan's place, and we just, I mean, our jaws were on the floor the whole day.
Uh-huh.
We're going to do what eventually? We're going to get hair where? This thing does that? What?
Yes.
The one for us was not until late. It wasn't the coming of age video. It was the birth video in ninth grade health class.
I never saw a birth video.
We got a birth video.
Oh, dear God.
They make you watch it, and it's, it's what it is.
But the coming of age, our house, it was a big topic last night. And my son is just, I mean, he's walking around just saying balls. And now his word, now I wonder if they said gonad was a big word. And the one I remember seeing. Maybe
testes.
I'm old. I'm testes.
Testes.
Yes.
Testes.
Testes, one, two,
one,
three.
Two,
yes, one,
three.
Two. But his is carrots. And for some reason, zucchini is his code word for the female. For some reason. Yeah, I don't know why he and his friends call it zucchini.
You might need to have a talk with him.
I might have to clarify some things.
Well, the video was supposed to show him. I don't know. But
I'd like to thank our schools for having the difficult conversations with our children that we're not willing to have.
Agree. but carrot is the one. And carrot, you got that part right. Carrot.
He nailed carrot.
Oh. Now, when they took the sexes apart, so to speak. Like, they had the boys in one room, the girls in the other. Did they do that where you guys were?
Oh,
same
we were
thing?
Separated.
Uh-huh.
And for good reason.
Yeah.
Because the girls are going, oh, my God, this is going to happen. And the guys are like, balls.
I know. Oh, man. So where do we go from here? Like, I leave it at that, right? They did their job. School did their job. I'm good. I don't need to follow up. There's no follow up necessary.
Nope.
Right? We're good. Everything's okay. This is a come to me situation,
yes,
right?
Yes. That little birdie's out there. Both your little birdies, they're out there. They're flying on their own. If they need to come home,
then that happens. If not, we're good. School. This is what public education got it done.
Yep, exactly.
You know?
Your tax dollars
tax
at work.
Dollars
yep.
On zucchinis and carrots. So we're all right.
Oh. The zucchini thing. I want to clear up.
Do they do it at this time of year all the time? I wonder
I don't know.
Spring. Birds and the bees.
Yeah. Okay. Man, you know too much about this, Crowley.
I think about sex all the time, Colin. Let's
there
just
we
call
are.
It what it
no,
is.
No, I'm going back to fifth grade, though, and just thinking about being in that room. And they turn it all. I think mine was so old school that it was.
You know it was old
projector.
If it was. Beep. Next slide.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you had to hit the thing when it
next
beeped.
Next slide.
Oh, goodness. Oh, goodness.
I wonder how dated the footage is.
Right.
Because for us, it was like the ladies with the big 80s hair. And this was in like 2000, probably. 2001, 2002.
If there's manscaping involved or any of that, maybe not.
If it's really old, you know there's
right.
not.
Right, there's not.
After we had the talk,
I'm
waiting and waiting and waiting. It's like 4 years until I got any puberty.
Oh, seriously?
It was awful. Everyone else, hey, look at this. And they're, okay, sixth grade, bang, 6 feet tall, Dan Johnson, Adam Crowley, 4'1".
Man, that's tough. That's tough. And then I'm wondering, too, the carryover. Is it a topic of conversation today with those kids? Or does it just last one day?
For the boys, it's just repeating the same words that they find funny over and over again.
Gonad. Gonad.
Testes.
Yes. Gonad.
Testes.
That was a big one for us.
Do you guys ever play that game where you talk about the male organ and you just have to you whisper it at first and then the next person has to say it
louder? Louder, louder,
for sure.
Louder. Yeah, yeah.
For sure. Yeah. You want to play it now? You go first. You yell real loud.
I don't know what I'm allowed to say and what I'm not allowed to say.
Get producer Matt to do it. That's the get Cook to do it.
Does that say pen 15?
Cook. Could you imagine getting Cook and Starkey to do it? That would end the station if we could get Cook and Starkey.
Johnson.
Johnson.
Willie. Willie.
Wanker.
Dying here.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Wednesdays with Whaley. Yes, Wednesdays with Whaley, top of the hour. Doug's going to join us. Exciting times. We're excited to bring it to you. So there's that. Man, so the producer, Matt, not around today. Not feeling up to it, I hear.
I hear he's ill.
Oh, man, no good.
Get better soon, Matt.
Yeah, hopefully he's okay. By the way, we want to visit your youth baseball and softball teams in action. Check it all out, 937thefan.com. Register your team today. 14th Ward will be there on Saturday. Saturday morning. Yes, it's a great organization out there. So check it out on our website. Give you the opportunity to have us out at your game. Update to something. I've been blocked on social media on Twitter by Rob Rossi. So there's that. Blocked.
I wonder.
I don't know. Somebody included both of us on a chain, so I went to click on to see what he had written or to just click on his thing to check what the Athletic had in. I'm blocked. I'm all of a sudden blocked. Maybe it centers around the story from yesterday or from 2 days ago now about the Sidney Crosby situation not being cleared in game six. This, I think, closes the book on that. At least for me, it does. Whenever Sidney Crosby said this yesterday.
I was cleared Sunday morning after the skate and the morning skate and things like that, just how I felt that day leading up to it. So, pretty much Sunday before the game is when I was cleared. So there's a process you have to go through, and I went through that process, wasn't cleared, for game six and was cleared for game seven. So that was all there was to it.
You know, looking back on that whole thing, that was a lot of rigmarole for 20 hours. That was really – it was kind of unnecessary, I think. I don't know what other way to put it. If you go back, was it all worth it for that to be the outcome?
Well, for whoever wants Ron Hextall out as GM, it may end up being worth it for them, although maybe that process was already starting to unravel if that's going to be the case.
Isn't he going to be out either way? No, whether someone erroneously reports that Sidney Crosby was held out by Ron Hextall in game six or not. Isn't he going to be out either way? Isn't the decision already made?
I don't know that. I mean, I don't know if it was necessarily meant with the intention either of making forcing the organization's hand, right? It was more to try and paint him in a poor light amongst fans,
if anything else. Here's the second day part I can't wrap my head around with Rossi's report and what he said on the station. Did he not think Sid was going to stand up and knock it down? Like,
I think Rob believes his source. I don't think Rob fabricated this.
No, I'm leaning toward that as well. But if you report something that gigantic, you better have 85 sources.
Right.
I'm not telling somebody how to do their job. I'm just saying the only way you can look at Rob as still having a shred of truth to that is if you call Sid a liar. That's the only way now, and I can't do it. I can't. This comes down. This is a very simple proposition at this point. Rob Rossi got it wrong, and if you say that Rob Rossi's right, Sid's a liar. If you say Sid's right, Rob Rossi got it wrong. There's no other way. There's no other choices. That's it.
I mean, I do think, and I understand what you're saying, Rob's wrong, I guess, in reporting something that may not, that in the end looks like it may not have been true, right? I do think there's that middle road, and this is what I've said since the beginning of this whole thing when it started the other day, is what drives somebody to give Rob that false information?
It's
right?
Your job as the journalist to vet that information.
No, and I understand that, and I've kind of pushed past that. And now I've said since the beginning, and now it really has become for me all about that story of who put that out there that Crosby was not clear.
Nobody put it out there.
Well, somebody said it to Rob.
But they don't have. This is the whole situation, Chris, and this is the problem, and this is why Andrew and Chris, I thought, should have pressed them more. The person that said that to Rob doesn't have the power to disseminate it wide. Rob does. And he made Ron Hextall. Love him, hate him, can't stand him. No matter how you feel about Ron Hextall, Rob Rossi made Ron Hextall look like a fool for 20 hours in this town. A damn fool. And it was built on a lie. It might not have been Rob Rossi's lie, but Rob Rossi amplified that lie. And that's patently unfair to Ron Hextall, man. It was. In this town, Ron Hextall for 20 hours was enemy number one in a villain because this town thought that he healthy scratched Sidney Crosby from a playoff game. And the person who gave Rob that information didn't have the platform to widely disseminate it. They used Rob. And being in that position comes with a responsibility to vet everything. And if you're not entirely sure of it, you shouldn't say it. Hextall's probably going to be fired anyway, but he didn't deserve being a villain for 20 hours. He didn't.
Well, and I'll say this too. You know, we've all made mistakes in reporting or reported something that maybe we got from even multiple sources that didn't end up being exactly right.
Not that the best player in the world was a healthy scratch in a playoff game. That's a little bit different than a guy, does he have a fingernail or does he have a finger injury? That's way different. This was one of the biggest stories in the last decade with the Penguins. I'm sorry.
It was in Canada. It was all over the place. This thing got disseminated. And it's good for the station. There's no doubt about that because that's where he said it. But, you know, to go back to a previous point that you made, Colin, it was never published in The Athletic. And I know from having talked to people there that they were still waiting. I mean, there's a reason why it hadn't gone up just yet. And I think that reason was you probably should get some more confirmation on a story of this kind of gravitas. I think that's why they were sitting on it.
I mean, again, maybe I'm a stickler. Maybe I'm not getting off this point and people say move past it or whatever. But Ron Hextall didn't deserve the fire that he got for 18, 20 hours because it was built on something that simply was not true. Sidney Crosby didn't deserve having to extinguish that, nor did Mike Sullivan. They shouldn't have had to extinguish that.
Well, they're all big boys, and they're going to be able to handle it. And I think if anybody was out against Hextall or is vehemently anti-Hextall, that's That is going to end up being a nothing burger in their analysis of Hextall and the job he's done over the last 15 months. Because essentially it has nothing to do now with the job that he's done over the last 15 months. So Rob's story is not going to be what gets Ron Hextall fired if Ron Hextall gets fired. What gets Ron Hextall fired will be that somebody in the organization somehow has decided, and again, I keep coming back around to this, sorry if I sound like a broken record, but somebody in the organization has decided that the last 15 months has been enough, they don't need to see any more from Ron Hextall, and that's curious to me.
I can't make Rob be some aggrieved party.
Oh, I'm not trying to.
I can't get there.
I don't think I'm trying to.
No, he made everybody go on a wild goose chase for a whole day, and he made Ron Hextall look like a fool.
Or the source that gave him the information. I understand what you're saying about the responsibility to vet your reporting. I do. And I agree with that. But if sources gave him that information, they're responsible for it as well.
They are, but again, they don't have such a platform.
Ron Hextall not speaking yesterday was really curious to me.
Yeah.
I mean, that to me makes it seem, unless they're going to make him available today or tomorrow or something like that, that makes me feel like he's not coming back and that decision's been made.
Well, I think he's already done.
Yeah,
like,
I think
that
so
was
too.
The thing. I don't think, no matter what about this story with Sid or whatever, I don't think Hextall, the day that the Fenway Sports Group took over this team, I think that Burke and that Hextall were done anyway, that we're finished. So the thing that I took from yesterday mainly was, now, I thought I had a grasp on what I felt about Malkin and Letang coming back. Now it just gets thrown right back into the wash, and I don't know.
I increasingly get the feeling, especially on the heels of Elliot Friedman's 32 thoughts that he put out, his Penguin notes included that he was hearing something similar about the term that was offered to Evgeny Malkin, so his contract would line up with Sid's, and also about Letang. And not necessarily that they were low ball offers, so to speak, mm-hmm. but that it increasingly smells to me much like what the Steelers offered Ben after 2020 in the hopes that he might walk away because the it might not be enough for him. Ben ended up coming back for one more year. He wanted to play here one more year that much and thought he still had something in the tank. I think the big difference here is that Chris Letang in particular, but even Malkin to a less extent, don't look like Ben Roethlisberger looked after the last 2 months of 2020.
Yeah.
Letang's got a lot of gas left in the tank. Malkin, I don't know how much, but neither one of those guys, I don't think I would lowball to the point where I'd give them a disrespectful offer in the hopes that they would just walk away.
I agree with you. And whatever gas Letang has left in the tank, he thinks he has a quarter tank more. That's the other thing, as does his agent. And I don't blame him for that.
No.
Because of the shape that he's in
right.
at his age. So he's going to negotiate to the roof in a little bit more.
Malkin's a different story.
Correct. Correct. Wednesdays with Whaley coming up top of the hour. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet for a great deal on a new or pre-owned vehicle. Great service, too. You're going to find it at Sun Chevrolet. Interesting weather. Cool early today. Clouds throughout the day. High of only 66. Rain in the evening. Tomorrow it's going to warm up 82 for a high.
That's the weather.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.